Rodriguez. I'm an infectious disease fellow over at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York, and today I'll be discussing some of the work I've been doing with the Department of Health in New York City. So a little bit of background information. Traditional sequence of serologic testing for syphilis includes a screening RPR and, if positive, a treponemal test follows. Increasingly, syphilis screening is done with an initial treponemal test such as the T-palidum EIA, which I'll be referring to as just the EIA, and if positive, then a reflex RPR. Treponemal screening using the EIA identifies patients not identified by the traditional testing algorithm, specifically those who are EIA positive, RPR non-reactive. Interpretation of EIA positive, RPR non-reactive test results is unclear. So our objective was threefold. First, to describe EIA positive, RPR non-reactive patients in a sample of patients from a New York City hospital, to describe the diagnostic context of TP EIA positive, RPR non-reactive test results, and to describe the clinical interpretation of EIA positive, RPR non-reactive patients by providers. So we used the New York City Health Department Syphilis Registry to identify EIA positive, RPR non-reactive tests performed and reported from July 1st, 2008 to June 29, 2009. We selected one New York City hospital location for medical chart review, and pregnant patients were excluded due to logistical reasons at the time. Of 1,296 reports, we selected a random sample of 150 reports for medical chart review. Syphilis history and treatment were determined as per medical chart documentation. So this is the testing algorithm used at the New York City hospital chosen. As you can see, they screen with the TP-EIA or the TREP check. If it's negative, no further testing is done. If it's positive or equivocal, then a reflex RPR is performed. If the RPR is positive, then a quantitative is done on the RPR. If the RPR is non-reactive, then an FTA is done. And this is the part of the algorithm which is not identified using the traditional testing sequence. Of note, no interpretive data is provided with any of these lab results by the laboratory. So 150 records selected and 128 were reviewed, or 85%. The remainder of the charts could not be located at the time of chart review. Median age was 46 with a range of 21 to 93. 55% were male, and the predominant race or ethnicity was African American, followed by white and Hispanic. 68% of cases were HIV positive. Reasons for testing included the following. First, routine screening among the general care of the HIV patient population, 52%. Routine screening among psychiatric patients, 18%. And routine STD screening of the general patient population, or 8%. Just a minority of patients had testing due to symptoms suggestive of syphilis, 11%, follow-up of a previously treated syphilis infection, 5%, or sexual contact with a known syphilis-infected person, just 1%. So these are results in the context of the diagram. So 128 EIA-positive RPR non-reactive cases. Of those, 127 went on to have an FTA, 121 being FTA-positive, and 6 being FTA-negative. There is one patient who did not have an FTA performed. So this table details the EIA positive RPR non-reactive patients with reference to their FTA and HIV status. So of 128 patients, 87 were EIA positive, RPR non-reactive, or HIV positive. Of those 87, 82 went on to have a positive FTA, 4 had a negative FTA, and there was one HIV positive patient who did not have an FTA done. Of the 128 patients, 22 were HIV negative, 20 went on to have a positive FTA, 2 had a negative FTA. There were 19 patients with an unknown HIV status. All of them went on to have a positive FTA. So I know these next two slides are detailed, but I will walk you through them. So this slide focuses on the summary syphilis data in the medical chart prior to syphilis testing at this hospital. So again, 128 EIA positive, RPR non-reactive. Of those 128, 43 had a positive RPR previously in their medical record at some time. Of those 43, 33 had a previous syphilis history documented by their provider. Of those 33, 26 had treatment and 7 had no documented treatment. Now, there were 10 of the 43 whose syphilis history was not clearly documented, meaning that their provider did not note in their medical record whether they did or did not previously have a history of syphilis. There were 45 of the 128 who were never RPR positive, meaning all previous RPRs in their medical record were non-reactive. Of those 45, 11 had a previous syphilis history, with five having treatments and six having no documented treatments. Two had no syphilis history clearly documented in their medical record by their provider. And 32 syphilis history was not clearly documented. Then there were 40 patients with an unknown previous RPR status, meaning there were no other RPRs in their medical record. Of those 40, 16 had a previous syphilis history, with 11 having treatment, 5 having no documented treatments, 10 had no syphilis history clearly documented in their record by their provider, and 14 syphilis history was not clearly documented. So this chart here details their diagnostic and treatment decisions made subsequent to syphilis screening at the hospital chosen. So again, 128 EIA positive, RPR non-reactive. Of those 128, 121 went on to be FTA positive. 45 of the 121 were diagnosed as having past treated syphilis by their provider. 27 of the 45 had a positive RPR in their medical record on chart review. 8 never had a previously positive RPR, and 10 had an unknown previous RPR status. 68 of the 121 who were EIA positive, RPR non-reactive, FTA positive, were not given a diagnosis in association with these test results. 13 of these had, on chart review, had a previous positive RPR in their medical record. 35 never had a positive RPR, and 20 had an unknown previous RPR status. Then there were 8 patients who are EIA positive, RPR non-reactive, FTA positive, whom were diagnosed as having late latent syphilis by their provider. Of these 8, 6 were treated. 1 was HIV positive with no syphilis history. 1 was HIV negative, whose syphilis history had not been clearly documented. And 4 had an unknown HIV status. 3 had no syphilis history clearly documented, and 1's syphilis history was not clearly documented. There were 2 patients who were diagnosed as having late latent syphilis who were not treated. Both were HIV positive. On further review of their medical records, 1 had a previous syphilis history and had treatment documented, and 1's syphilis history was not clearly documented. So of the remaining 7 patients who were EIA positive, RPR non-reactive, 1 did not have an FTA done, and then the other 6 were FTA negative. Of these six, 1 was diagnosed as having late latent syphilis, 4 were given no diagnoses, and 1 was diagnosed as having previously treated syphilis. And they are further detailed in this table here. So half were male and half were female with an age range of 25 to 61. 4 out of the 6 were HIV positive. The main screening indication in the HIV population here was as part of routine HIV care. None of them were treated. There was 1 HIV positive patient with an unknown history of syphilis who was screened because of symptoms suggestive of syphilis. He was also not treated. The 1 patient who was diagnosed with late latent syphilis was a 45-year-old HIV negative female. She had no history of syphilis. She was screened prior to renal transplant for end-stage renal disease. She was treated with IM benzathine penicillin weekly for 3 weeks. There were several limitations to our study. First, this was a limited sample size from a single hospital. In addition, medical chart data, as we know, may often be incomplete and may not contain all available syphilis data contained in the syphilis registry. So our conclusions were the following. First, screening for syphilis using an initial treponemal test with reflex RPR now identifies TP EIA positive RPR non-reactive persons. In this hospital sample of EIA positive RPR non-reactive persons, most were HIV infected and less than 1/3 had a previous diagnosis of syphilis and treatment documented in their chart. Diagnostic and treatment decisions made subsequent to syphilis screening at this New York City hospital were inconsistent. Majority were not given a new syphilis diagnosis, and only a minority were given a new diagnosis of syphilis or treatment based on their EIA positive RPR non-reactive test results. So there are several implications to this. First, clinicians need guidance in interpreting EIA positive RPR non-reactive results consistently. Second, additional investigations of low-risk populations, such as pregnant women, are needed to further clarify the implications of this new testing algorithm. And third, medical chart information is limited. Provider use of syphilis registry may augment information available for clinical decision-making. Our next steps are to include incorporation of the syphilis registry, such as titer and treatment history, into this sample to determine if it would have assisted in the interpretation of test results. Thank you. I'd like to thank my co-authors and Dr. Suzanne Blank and Preeti Patella for their help with this presentation. Couldn't have done it without them. Any questions? Yes?
Has this hospital done anything to address this issue?
No, not at this time. Yes?
You reported that most of the discordant results were among HIV positives. How does that differ from general syphilis in New York City?
In terms of the testing results, or?
Aren't most of the syphilis cases HIV positive? So are we surprised that most of the discordant results are among HIV positives?
No, we were not surprised. Any other questions? Yes?
Sorry, more of a statement. The real problems are very early syphilis and very late syphilis. And I was interested to see that one of the diagnoses made was latent syphilis. Now, I don't know how anybody could actually make a diagnosis of latent syphilis on the results of a treponemal test alone. Seem very strange. But what's really interesting is that are the number of patients with psychiatric illness that were included in the study. Now those really do need some further investigation, because that's the area that's really gray. We just don't know whether these are still treponemal test positive and their non-treponemal test has become negative. So this is one of the big, big controversies
right.
of the serology.
Right.
But I think probably the one area that really needs clarification is out there at the far end, where there may be signs of late symptoms of tertiary symptoms, cardiovascular or
Right, agreed. I mean, the syphilis testing and the clinical decisions were made by a wide array of providers. Not all of them necessarily have experience with STDs or syphilis per se. It could have been anyone from a surgeon to OBGYN to a primary care doctor to an STD HIV specialist doing the testing. And even though I didn't detail all this, there was definitely a difference in which diagnoses were being made depending on which provider was doing the testing. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Did I conduct some? Right. No, we did not do those. We are planning to do that. That's going to be our next step. Okay, thank you, everyone.